Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of You're Welcome. You know, I hope you are all having a great week. I know that I am, and coming up on today's show, I'm going to make the case for Makhachev to rejoin the UFC. Plus, Robert Whittaker says he deserves a title shot with a win over Chimaev. And I'm not sure that all of you are going to agree with him. A lot to get to. Let's start here. A very wise man came and told you guys that Conor McGregor missed the June 29th date opposite Michael Chandler because he was in rehab. Now, that very wise man was guessing. He admitted he didn't know, but as he's trying to put the pieces together, right, of missing the fight is one thing, but you don't miss the press conference for the fight unless you're somewhere that would preclude you from getting to the press conference. That seems to make a level of sense, not to mention wherever you are, you can come in by Zoom. You don't actually have to be there. And that guy that made this tie-in was me. And I'm starting to think that guy was wrong. Now, I want to let you know, like, my idea and my contention that Conor was at rehab wasn't as scandalous as perhaps it was perceived. And it also wasn't a heavy bet that it was actually in rehab. It was more to the idea of where I don't think you are. Like, I don't think that fight was canceled for a discolored pinky toe that may or may not be broken and may or may not be attached to Conor's body. I don't believe that. I don't believe that there was an injury at any degree, even to something as small as a pinky toe, where we, the community, would not know where it happened, how it happened, and what you were doing at the time that it happened. I don't believe that. Now, that's taking an assumption that it was a training accident. If it was in a gym and a coach was there, and a sparring partner or workout partners of any degree were there to see it, I believe we would hear about that. So that would throw my theory out if this was not a training accident, if this was something around the house where there were no witnesses, where there was nobody to speak up. It would still create a curiosity as to how and why a press conference was not attended. And it's not because that decision was already made. When that press conference was canceled, the decision to not have the fight was not already made. It's now on the table. Phone calls are starting to be made to other people to replace that match in case, but the decision was not made. There was something that happened that day that precluded Conor from physically being able to get to a specific location. I will just tell you, I did a press conference at Madison Square Garden. I mean, I got to use Madison Square Garden. It is the media mecca of the world. It was a massively successful press conference. And I did it against Wanderlei Silva, who was in Brazil. He was scheduled to be there. Something happened with his flight, something like this. Either way, he couldn't make it. We went right on with it. Had a big screen. There was Wanderlei. So there's not a part of me that believes that if Conor could have gotten to a screen and zoomed in that they would not have moved forward with that. And all of this comes, by the way, I saw Connor over the weekend drinking. That's where this all comes from. In fact, I saw two different clips. Bald Connor. I like Bald Connor. But I don't think that Bald Connor would be at an event drinking. I don't think he was faking the drinking, by the way. Like, I don't think that was something fake in the cup. I also don't think that that was a marketing for one of his alcohol brands where he could be motivated to have something fake in the cup. I don't think Dave Feldman wants to bring a guy on, particularly a partner in a role that shows up to an event who's drinking. I don't think that. Like, that's not a great look. I can't think of anybody else in sport. There's an old man that used to get mouthy. Larry Merchant, who they should have got rid of this guy a long time ago for disrespect, right? This is the guy that did that situation with Floyd, but Larry was drunk. Larry gets drunk out of his mind at these shows. He's swerving. I mean, it is one of the pieces of entertainment for the people on the inside that know that he's sauced up. It's really interesting. Like, you'll watch him at the beginning. You'll watch him change. You'll watch his eyes start to close. You'll listen to the slurring as he's losing his ideas. There is a level of entertainment to that, I will agree. But outside of that drunk, I can't remember anybody in sport who was there in a professional manner who was drinking until I saw Bald Connor. There would never be a situation where Dana or any of his staff around the cage, just for example, any situation, anytime ever, were drinking. If that happened, that person, no matter how high their seniority, would no longer be there. So when I'm watching Connor drinking publicly, I believe it was actually alcohol, and I don't think that he would have done that if he was in rehab. The rehab would be a very serious thing. If it was serious enough to miss a fight and hang your hat on the argument that I missed a fight due to a discolored pinky toe and then never once supply any evidence to the people that it was your toe. I mean, that was part of it. Like, I don't think that Connor meant for this to get over. For some reason, our community, everybody but me, ate this up. As though it was rude that I would suggest he was in rehab or that he was somewhere else. As though I suggested I did not believe Connor. But I'm sharing a deeper thought with you guys. I don't think Connor meant for you to believe him. This is the master. Who, by the way, the last time I saw him had a compound fracture in his shin. That's a real injury. And the show went on. He refused to get in the ambulance. He refused to pass up on his post-fight interview because he's a master entertainer and he's committed to his craft. And he delivered to the audience what he promised from bell to bell, which was entertainment, all the way until we fade to black and roll the credits. I don't believe a guy that did that is going to miss a fight because of a discolored pinky toe. And moreover, when he took a picture of the pinky toe, right? I mean, this is the big deal. This is the whole thing. If it's your pinky toe, you would show yourself in the picture. You might even do a video and you scroll down to the toe and you scroll back up. None of that happened. Connor zoomed in on a pinky toe, which may or may not be his and may or may not be broken. I don't think he was serious. I think he was trying to mess around. I think he had a whole plan for how he was going to troll the world on this. And our media, see, our media gets scared. Our media is scared of Connor. I don't want to upset Connor. What if he doesn't give me an interview? Connor doesn't give you an interview in the first place. Connor doesn't know and or care who you are. I mean, I'm just sharing for you. Like, it's really weird that our media gets so scared because for our media to accept, this would not happen anywhere else. Connor is the biggest star and the biggest draw in our sport. You go to any other sport and they go miss a major competition, right? I mean, this is the main event, guys. It's the main event on International Fight Week. You could compare that with Game 7 of the NBA. You could compare that with Brady going into the Super Bowl. It's the big one. In our industry, it's the big one. And neither of those guys would be allowed to take a picture of a pinky toe and send it out and everybody accepts that. First off, you tease him because it's a pinky toe. In all fairness, you would tease him. With your little pinky toe, you could hobble into the Bellator event. You could hobble into the bare knuckle event. You couldn't hobble into a press conference that was 5 miles up the road from where you live. I find that hard to believe, which Connor knew you'd find that hard to believe. The whole thing was designed, I think, for you to have fun with it. I think he took a picture of a toe, put it out, knowing that people would come back and say, is it your toe? How come you're not in the photo? How did you go on with a compound fracture where all you had to do was talk? All you were doing with Joe Rogan, your entire argument for being able to do that is all I have to do is talk. I can do that with a bad leg. How do you have that, but you can't show up to a press conference where all you have to do is talk? It's the same thing, which he knows. Connor knows. I think he was playing with us. I think that that was the first step in a direction of a great storyline that he was working in our media because they were so scared. They accepted it. I not only don't believe the story, I don't believe that Connor ever meant to have people believe the story. Connor and Chandler, does Connor want to fight Chandler? Now, I do believe that Connor wants to fight again. But so do I. So I mean, what does that mean? I'm not going to fight again. I'm not going to do the diet process. That alone, I'm not going to do the training process. I'm not going to get up in the morning and put the miles in. It's one of these things, and therefore I'm not going to fight again. But I bring that to you because I do believe Connor wants to fight again. But that's a very different thing. Do you want to go through the lifestyle? Do you want to do the hard work? I don't have the answer to this. I don't have the answer. I know that average fighter in average card, you watch 11 fights, 22 guys. Of those 11 fights and of those 22 athletes, on average, I don't know if any of them, have an injury less degree of severity than a discolored pinky toe. Just on an average night, I know Connor himself, when he was getting his comeuppance, did not get in the ring with his body, having something within his body, not feeling equal to or worse than a discolored pinky toe. So it does speak about how much you want to do it. And there's stories being told, but there's stories not being told, but you have to take them. You have to consider them when you're trying to guess. And I don't guess because I'm itching to see Connor. I guess because I don't want Michael Chandler's life put on hold for any more years, of which are passing by. And the math doesn't work. Whatever this payday was, or he believes it's going to be, which, by the way, he should know exactly because he has a contract. I mean, it's one of these things. But whatever that is, the math no longer works when a year goes by and that cost you 3 fights. Now, I'm stating the obvious. It's not as though Michael Chandler doesn't know. I want this to work out for Michael Chandler. But at what point, what story is it that we're being told? Could we have gotten Connor in there that night if we changed the opponent? And see, this changes things. When fighters retire, they don't retire because they can't do the sport or they don't want to do the sport. They retire because they don't want to do the lifestyle of the sport. They don't want to have to make weight anymore. Make weight is a broad stroke for the lifestyle, for the calories that you got to burn, for the workouts that you got to do, for the discipline that you have to have, for the sacrifice that you have to make. It all gets represented not in your performance. It gets represented when you get on that scale. So I just share for you, when Khabib retired, we started looking at all these different numbers, but we looked at all the wrong numbers. If they would have moved the weight class to 165, you would have gotten Khabib to fight again at that time. I illustrate that. Could we get Connor to fight June 29th? Yes, of course we could. Of course. Was he healthy enough to fight? Yes, of course. He can make the 170-pound weight class, and, you know, even with a bum foot, it kind of changes the exercise, of course. And he would have walked out there and done it. He was fine. He could have done it if he was fighting you. If you became his opponent, he could have done it. He could not go through with that and do it against Michael Chandler, in his own opinion. So, how far does that go? To beat Michael Chandler, do we just need that pinky toe? Is that the one thing that was missing? Are we admit that the fight is that close? Or do we just need a whole new opponent? That's all I'm asking. Like, as December starts to get closer, and December is the only pay-per-view left in the calendar year that doesn't have a rumored main event yet. That is the only opportunity that Connor and Chandler would have. And they are campaigning for it. They are live. They're going back and forth on Twitter. And all they're trying to do is get a date, is get the company to go, all right, we're going to give this one more shot. But I still have to ask you, is Chandler the problem? Like, every action that has been taken appears to be an action that would shake Michael Chandler. That would get rid of him, get him to go take another fight. So I'm wondering, is he the problem? Do we need to find somebody else? And there's no question Connor could have fought June 29th. That's not a question. He couldn't fight against Michael Chandler. Now, I don't know that there's a easier or more favorable match. I don't know that there would be a strategic advantage to getting rid of Chandler. And if you did, who is it that you believe that you would bring in that you have a better shot with? So that punches a bit of a hole in the boat of my argument, but I'm more making a suggestion. I'm more asking a question. For sure, Connor could have fought with that leg. For sure. He did lots of things with that leg. He couldn't fight Chandler. He could have fought you. Could have fought your neighbor. Could have fought your kid brother. I'm teasing you. It would have been very light work, and that's what he could have done. And we all agree. We all go, okay, Chael, you're right. Well, okay, great. But if I am right, is that guy that you could have walked out there with a bad leg, is he in the UFC? Because there's a story being told. There's a story being told constantly. When you see drunk Connor, when you see bald Connor, when you see partying Connor, when you see traveling Connor, when you see these things, you're being told a story. Every time I see Connor, I saw him twice over the weekend. I saw him drinking. I see him at Bare Knuckle. I see him drinking. I see a surveillance tape of this girl that tried to do the twerk on him. Did you guys see that? It's actually quite funny. He's drinking. And he's not drinking because he can't control himself. He's not drinking because he's thirsty. He's telling a story. I just don't know what it is. Connor showed up drunk to the Khabib press conferences. What was that story we were being told? It was either, I am a drunk. I cannot control myself. Nah, he could have controlled himself. So we know that one's out. So then you have, I take this guy so lightly. I've got such confidence, and I have this in the bag to the degree that I haven't even stopped partying, and I'm going to go fight him, right? It was with the old John Jones adage that he said to Daniel Cormier. It was one of the great lines at a press conference ever. I did coke all through camp, and I still knocked you out. So is that the story being told? I take this opponent so lightly that I'm going to travel and jet set and go all over the world. I'm going to be away from my coaches and away from my gyms. We all know I'm not getting workouts worth a damn on the hotel treadmill. But we all also know that is all that I have available to me because I have left my coaches and my gym to be here drinking. So is the story, I am so confident and I have such a lack of respect for you and a confidence in myself that I will drink through this entire thing. I will party and I will go to clubs and I will deal with you. Or, and here's your third option, guys. There's only three. There's not four, there's not five, there's not endless options. There's three. The third option is I don't know how this is going to go. And therefore, I am going to let you know right now the things that I could change moving forward. I could have changed them for this fight. I could have just beat him if. Next time can be different. Because I can stop doing this, and you all saw that I was doing it. You all saw that I was drinking and not taking him serious. I didn't do that bad with him for a guy that didn't take him serious. I didn't do that bad for a guy that didn't train. Imagine if I did. Imagine if I took this serious. And it's one of those stories that are being told. And is it Chandler? Is it Chandler? It wasn't as though we couldn't do anything. He's been going to fights. He's been going to clubs. He's been dancing. He's getting on airplanes. He's driving. He's taking care of his family. I mean, these are very real things. These are all the same mechanics that you would need, right? It's not as though you can't fight. You feel good and you can do everything, but you got a cast on. You have a cast on. A commission will not let you fight with a cast. Like, we don't even have to have a conversation here. I cannot go fight with a cast. Well, there was no cast. There was no boot. There was no anything. There was a decision that I need this part. I don't feel good enough against that opponent. If it would have been a different opponent or the right opponent, he would have done it. Just the same as Khabib would have fought if they would have understood the problem was 155 pounds. But I'm not bullish on that idea because I'm not bullish that there's another idea. I'm not bullish there's another matchup out there that would add more or offer more that people are looking forward to more. There's never been a fight promoted this long. It had the greatest marketing mechanism in our industry history, The Ultimate Fighter. It had the largest gate in our industry's history, so we know there's people that want to see the fight. And I don't know if Chandler's the problem, because I don't know if there's a replacement. But I knew, though, there's a story being told. I know there's a story going out of its way to be told. There's a story that you can't look away from, which is, I am not in the gym, I am not training, I'm drinking. Is it because I am so confident? Or is it because I want you guys to not have such incredible confidence? Comes out, Islam's doing an interview, and he shows that he had like surgery on his hand, or his hand was broken. He's got some kind of repair to his hand. He's gonna be out of fighting because of his hand. That's just not how it's done. I mean, it was really interesting. It was very compelling that Islam not only had an injury, he'd had it worked on, he'd had it corrected, and he's now in the recovery phase before any of us even know that this happened. Like, that's not how guys have been doing it for the last 10 years. If a guy's got any kind of ailment, he wants some kind of a sympathy, or he wants some kind of a story. I've never really understood it myself. He'll take his own x-rays and he'll put his own x-rays on social media. Right? It's a very weird thing to do. Like, anything that I had that was medical, it wouldn't matter what it was. I wouldn't tell you about it. That's weird. But this is still what guys do. So it was very interesting the way this came up on Islam's side. All right, great. Throw this story over to Armand Sakarian. So Sakarian is looking at that and he's saying, hey, listen, this isn't a big problem for me. I've never had heat with Islam. That's created through other people. Islam's got to beat. I just want to get to the title. Let's just do an interim championship. There's guys out there. See Dustin Poirier, just by example. Let's get this interim title going. So I come in today and I'm thinking, all right, let's think here. Who are we going to get for an interim championship? Who are we going to get to take on Sakarian? And frankly, Poirier's name does come right up. Now, I wouldn't predict for you that he's going to be the guy. I'm just sharing as you're starting to go through this that would be one of the guys. And then it dawns on me. I open up my Jocko Fuel. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking. And I go, wait a minute. What are we doing talking about an interim championship? Where did this come from? Sakarian put out an interview talking about he'll do an interim championship. And I fell for it. Like, I came away from reading that interview thinking, yes, who should we do for an interim title? There's no interim title. What are you talking about an interim title? And since when did a guy on suspension start calling for interim championships in the first place? How did this come about? And why did I not think of it? I also got to tell you, I think of that. Today happens to be the 14-year anniversary of my match with Anderson Silva, part one. It just feels like yesterday to me. I can't believe it's been 14 years, but I will share with you, there was a period of time where I couldn't get in there with Anderson for part one or for part two. Why didn't I call for an interim title fight? There's a period of time where Anderson was hurt. I want to say it was his rib or something along these lines. Why did I not go out and call for an interim title fight? How is it the Sakarian thought of this? How is it the Sakarian got so close to pulling this off? He got so close to pulling it off that he started lining up possible opponents, and now you're even getting the possible opponents to start weighing in and responding. We don't know how long Islam is out, for one. We don't even know when Sakarian is back, for two. That has been said and established. Like, the commission did bring the gavel down over the guy that he punched. You know, I met that guy. I met the guy that Sakarian punched on his way to the ring. Yeah, I did. I've always wanted to talk to the guy. I wanted to stay in touch with him. I wanted to have him on the show. And somehow that didn't work out. There was people everywhere. It was the UFC Expo. He comes up to me, explains to me, I'm the guy. And I'm not suing. Oh, and by the way, UFC set me up with tickets to this event. I'm happy as can be. He said, you know, I'm the one that prompted that. I was actually cheering for him, but I'm still cheering for him. I want to see him win the world title. I don't like just being the guy that Shakarian punched. I want to be the guy that world champions Shakarian punched. Like, he just had this great attitude about it. And I mean, maybe that's the guy we should fight for the interim championship. Maybe that guy that took the punch and didn't even want anything for it. Maybe he should come in and fight. But do you see how we've gone down Crazyville? Like, if we're in Crazyville already, why stop? How did Shakarian get this message out? How did he make us all fall for it? How is he calling for fights and even getting interviews about fights while on suspension? This was one of the great jobs, one of the great con jobs, and it was this close to working. Any athlete who competes at the highest level will tell you the importance of having a great team. Even in individual sports like boxing, wrestling, MMA, there is always a team of coaches and training partner who helped you get to the top. Think about Simone. Think about Serene. Think about Tiger. Think about Mike Tyson, Mayweather. They all have a coach. And the same thing goes with business. You need a solid team of trusted and knowledgeable people to help you advance if you're in the e-commerce business. Let Shopify be that teammate that helps you level up. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chail, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/chail. Like the famous gangster, to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/chail.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lahal Mohammed is probably going to fast track to champ status. Probably has to. It's just no one really to fight. It's not that there aren't guys there that are meaningful and tough guys, but there's not a clear guy. And he's already fought basically everyone. So, sure, you have Rakhmonov, who's undefeated. You have Ian Garry, who's undefeated. But do they really deserve it? Do they really deserve a world title fight? You've even got Kamaru Usman. He's not undefeated. He's done some great things in the past, but does he really deserve a title fight? So, and therefore, he will probably just have to be looking at 185 pounds a lot quicker than anybody else would have to look there. Or at least according to him. It was one of the great, this was one of the great troll jobs, okay, in a while. What is he talking about? There's no clear number one contenders. I mean, I got to tell you, a division is in trouble when it has no clear number one contender, all right? You don't want to be Alex Pereira today. As cool as saying Chomo might be, you don't have an opponent. Not only do you not have an opponent, you don't have anybody wants to be your opponent. They're talking about taking you out of your division and kicking you up 60 pounds because there's nobody for you to fight. Like, not having a clear contender, right? It's one of these issues where the fact that you have a Kamaru Usman to choose from, or you have a Rachmaninoff to choose from, or you go in the direction of Ian Garry, who's got a completely unblemished record. Like, having lots of choices is a very good thing. It's a very, very good thing. And it was the biggest miss by Leon. I do not want to give Leon a hard time. I find myself that I never am saying anything nice about Leon, but that really, guys, is just a coincidence. It truly is like a 5-year coincidence that whenever the topic comes up on Leon, I'm the opposite side, but not from a personal reason. In fact, I spoke to Leon right before his fight. He came on good guy and the bad guy, and he was great. He was a complete gentleman. I will just share with you, I do think Bilal Muhammad is making a very strong point that as good as Rachmaninoff might be, as good as Ian Garry has done, as great of a career as Kamaru Usman had, there is not anyone that is just standing out and like glowing. I know the fight that I personally want them to do. I want them to go in the direction of Kamaru Usman, but I want them to go in that direction because I largely agree with Bilal's reasoning. Rachmaninoff, yes, to answer the question, absolutely deserves it. If you go 17-0 and they're all finishes, this has never been done before. Of course, he does deserve, whatever that word means, whatever that word deserve means. But yeah, he is the guy. But you would probably be serving everybody, the fans, the promotion, Muhammad, and Rachmaninoff. You'd probably be serving them all better if we could go in that direction just a little bit longer, if we could have that official number one contenders match. If you could get Rachmaninoff on there with the right opponent and build and look toward the one after, right? It's one of these spots. It's one of these highly peculiar spots. But because of all of that, I do think that Leon was primed to demand a rematch. I do think that Leon, right after that fight, was poised in a position to start screaming robbery, start telling us that the judges had it wrong, start talking about how strongly he was coming on, start talking about the round that matters is the last round. I dominated him. I should have been a 10-8 round. Look at him. He split open. But, right, I mean, this is just talk. But I do think he could have got the win. You know, you look around. Here you are at home, and the arena has sold out. Like, you're in a good, strong position to start making demands, and you're giving an audience that backs you up. Leon was a gentleman. Leon was a good sport. He showed good sportsmanship. That's what you do. That is what you do, is you give the other guy his 15 minutes. This is his time. Get out of the cage. Don't say anything. Let him have that moment that he will capture and that his family will cherish forever. That was the gentleman thing to do. That was a sportsmanlike thing to do. And being a gentleman and being a good sportsman are really important when you're a kid. We are not in sports. We are in the entertainment business. There was no reason for Leon to be nice. There was no reason for Leon to not get his own people to start a chant against Muhammad. There was no reason for Leon to not turn on those judges, turn on that outcome, demand that he won rounds 1, 3, and 5. And if he would have done that and he got this taunt going, right? I mean, everything's clear in hindsight. I'm just sharing for you. There is a massive opportunity, or there was, for Leon to be next for Bilal because of the point that Bilal's making right now, which is there is nobody. There is truly nobody. Rachmaninoff has not gone after this. Ian Garry has not gone after it at all on the Ian Garry front. I got no problem with that. I'm just like, not at all. Colby has gone after it way harder than anybody else. But he's coming off, right, his match with Leon, he's not really expecting it. It's just one of those things that he is doing as part of it. I'm just sharing, like, Leon was in a very good position. Kamaru Usman, as a matter of fact, Kamaru hadn't surveyed the scene. Kamaru started going after Rachmaninoff. Kamaru Usman had not surveyed the scene to realize the spotlight's on him. Everybody's looking at Kamaru to come in and do this job, including Muhammad. But when Kamaru starts going after Rachmaninoff, like, it was one of these things where everybody's in the wrong place. All Leon needed to do was to speak up with some level of disdain towards the outcome. That was all he needed to do. And not only would he be in the conversation, he would be leading the conversation, at least for now. I just go back to what Blahl said. Now, Blahl is not right that because there's nobody clear, right, that he's going to be leaving the division and fighting 185 pounds. But the worst thing that Blahl could have ever done is start apologizing. Like, there was a lot of people that didn't want him to be champion. There was a lot of people that didn't enjoy the championship fight. There was a lot of people that didn't want to sign the championship fight in the first place. And the worst thing he could ever do is apologize to any of them, and he's not. He is sticking it in everybody's ass. I mean, I got to tell you, I love it. I love the way he's set this up, that he will be the one to go for champ status, and he's going to do it in record time. He's going to do it much faster than everybody. And just because there's no one to fight, just he was such a clear number one contender, but now he doesn't have a clear number one contender. It was great. It was really well done. There's not a word of it that's accurate. There's not a word of it that's going to happen, but it was fun. I'll give him that. Uncoliah versus Raychick, guys. Uncoliah versus Raychick. Say that again. Uncoliah versus Raychick. Now, didn't we hear a rumor? Didn't we even cover, as though it was a report, Pereira taking on Uncoliah, this going down at Madison Square Garden? The sport's biggest star, in the absence of Conor McGregor, who is not licensed, is either Sean O'Malley or it's Alex Pereira. There's some very strong numbers saying it's O'Malley. But there's some pretty strong numbers saying it's Pereira. Like, I mean, I'm just sharing with you, right? Well, one of them did $14 million gate. One of them did 15. One of them's going to headline the Sphere, and one of them was rumored to be going to Madison Square Garden, but in a co-main spot. You can't be the biggest star and not even the biggest star on the card that night. Doesn't work. Now, I'm bringing that to you, because what happened to that? What happened to that? Alex Pereira versus Uncoliah. It turns out that not only is that not happening at Madison Square Garden, Uncoliah's fight with Raychick isn't at Madison Square Garden. It's in the Middle East. So it wasn't a matter of something happened. There's an injury or an illness. You pull Pereira down, you put Raychick in. That was never going to happen. That was fake news. But if that is fake news and Uncoliah is in fact busy, what is going on with Pierre? Because he's not sick and he's not hurt. And that's the whole thing. The whole thing. You go look at 205 pounds right now. Now, had Lionheart had a win in his last fight, we could really be pointing in that direction. Largely because that's what Pereira wants to do. Pereira hasn't called out anybody that isn't named Anthony Smith. He did his last two fights and was talking about he wants to get in there with Anthony Smith, but Anthony is not going to go right into a Pereira fight, and they're not going to take it from Uncoliah to go to Anthony. I mean, this is just, right, I don't need to make the case for you. That simply isn't what's going to be next, but I'm trying to guess. I'm trying to get creative. What could it possibly be? There has to be something that we don't know. Like, something like, you guys will remember when Adesanya fought Yoel Romero, but Yoel was coming off a loss. And you're going, well, why isn't it the guy that beat Yoel? It happened to be Paulo Costa. And then the story comes out, which is Adesanya wants Yoel on a personal level. He is calling Dana and he's saying, man, I'm in the fight business and there's guys I don't like. And I don't want to be punished for being champion. I don't want, because I'm champion, I don't get to fight the guys that I came here to fight in the first place. Like, it was really interesting and Dana gave him the fight. So there has to be something along these lines going on with Pereira, right? Well, they're not. They're not. There is not a 205-pound out there. There isn't a compelling match. The number one contender that's Uncoliah, nobody wanted to see. The UFC didn't want to see it to the point that they were going to make it a co-main event. So why do it at all? I agree. You can't always get around it. Sometimes for the integrity of the sport and the integrity to the rankings, you have to. That will happen at some point. But the timing of it, the timing of Tom Aspinall being free, Tom Aspinall having no opponent because he got through Curtis Blades, which happens to be 10 days removed from Joe Rogan, one of the biggest voices in sport, not just this one, saying that he is supporting the idea of Piera versus Aspinall. We know Aspinall will do it. He already tried at 300. We know Piera will do it. He has a chance to set history, which is not likely to be broken in our lifetimes. Champ, champ, champ is not likely to ever happen to any of us again. So, what do you do now? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we want to see John Jones and we're getting torn in a direction? Like, there's a really big population that wants to see John Jones versus Pierre. There's a really big population that would rather see John Jones versus Aspinall. But the more that time goes by, the more that's going to really level out. Aspinall was seen last, so he's got a little bit of a bump for reasons. But as the months go by, it's going to be very even as to who you want to see John fight more. And the reality is you're not going to get him to see him fight both. But you could have those two guys and Pierre and Tom fight each other, and you could have John take on the winner. And it might be the best solution. And when you think about that, and I'm not ready to predict that for you guys. I'm just here to tell you. This isn't a guess. I am telling you. I am reporting to you. We are a step closer to having Tom Aspinall taking on Alex Pierre. We are a step closer right now than we have ever been. The spark that started the flame was those two. Pierre and Tom facing off and trying to get that done at 300. Right? 3 plus 30 equals 300 or however that worked. Remember all that? And then that gets co-signed by Joe Rogan on live TV. It then gets the stamp of approval put on at a press conference by Dana, who did not move in that direction but said, I do respect Joe Rogan's opinion, and Joe keeps telling me, come on, just do it. Now, all of a sudden, guys, here's what you can't do. Here's what you cannot do. When I tell you Pereira versus Tom, as exciting as that might be, what you can't do is tell me anyone you'd rather see Tom fight. You can't tell me a heavyweight that you'd rather see Tom fight. And of course, I'm talking about that with the players of Jones and Stipe off the board. Now, here's what you can't do. If I'm telling you this is going to be Pierre and Tom Aspinall, what you can't do is tell me anyone you'd rather see Pierre fight. Now, all right, take your excitement for whatever you could get. Right? So, Sergey versus Tabor, they're going to fight this weekend. The winner of that is going to take on Aspinall. Whatever your level of excitement for that would be. Then the winner of Ankalaev of Rachik is going to take on Pierre, okay? Whatever your level of excitement for that is going to be. Put those two excitements together, and it still does not equal how badly you would like to see Pierre taking on Tom, who, by the way, just happens to be available. They both just happen to be available. And there's other guys that happen to be getting booked, but not them. I'm not telling you right now that that fight is getting done. I am telling you, without question, we are a step closer to that fight today, right now, with Ankalaev Rachik busy. And you got to understand, you're not going to have to wait a real long time to find out. Like, the announcement of what Pierre and Tom are going to do, or if we're going to get Pierre and Tom together, that announcement is going to come prior to Rachik and Ankalaev fighting. It can't come after. If it comes after, now all of a sudden, Pierre does have something to do. So let's see where that goes. And if you like this idea, and you know the power of social media, turn it up. Turn it up. Now is the time. Even though that fight's not going to be for 6 months, now is the time to get that fight made. Mohammed I am. Guys, I forgive him. Do you? I have to tell you, I don't know what for. I don't know. Like, this thing got played very close to the vest. And there was one comment made by Dana, and Dana was polite. He didn't call him out. He didn't embarrass him. He gave an extremely broad stroke that he's difficult to deal with for the matchmakers. There was a difficulty or a resistance or a lack of enjoyment by the matchmakers. And I use all those words because what do they mean? Like, it didn't sound like it was something terrible. It didn't sound as though he had threatened them. When I watch his fight and I just look at his career, he stayed as active as anybody else. So I don't think he was turning fights down. You must understand, guys, before I go any further, I don't know. But that's one of the things that surprised me. I don't know. You can't keep something like this secret. I mean, you just can't. I don't think that Muhammad would. I believe that he would come out and be very candid. I believe that he would say, here's what I did. Here's what I will not do in the future. I just feel like he would say something like that. He's been pretty open. He has shared things with us that he was so open. I know that I was starting to think there's an interpretation issue. There's a language barrier. He must not have said that, but he said something close and the interpreter got it wrong because he was so open. He was coming out before this fight and saying, this is where I want to be. This is the last fight on my deal. They have not offered me a contract. In fact, that was the part exclusively. I remember I was sitting with Brett Okamoto and Lorisenko, and we all discussed it real fast. Like, hey, wait a minute. Okay, he just said he wasn't offered a contract. Misinterpretation, right? He means that he hasn't accepted the contract. And we all agreed, even though it's not what we were told, it's not what we heard, we all agreed that that's what it really meant. And I'm just sharing with you, this is how open he was, because no, it's not what he meant. He meant what he said. He has not been offered a contract. The last fight on his deal is here. He's taken on Cape. And there is not a discussion of another contract. So at some point, Muhammad said, I think they don't like my style. I think they don't like that I take people down. And that got ran with. The media took that as, okay, the matchmakers are telling him, you know, not to take people down. And that was inaccurate. The matchmakers did the same thing that Brett and Laura and I did, which is, even though we heard it one way, we decided it must be another, because that did not happen. And if you listen to Muhammad, he was guessing when he said it. He said what I think, right? I know excitement is at a premium over here. And perhaps that's what I'm not doing. And perhaps I'm not as excited because I'm taking people down. Like, he was trying to break it down. He was trying to be open. Then he gets in that thing at the hotel with Cape. And see, the whole situation has been blamed on the hotel photograph sucker punch situation, of which, right, and I don't like that happened to Cape. Cape is a victim here, and I'm not trying to dismiss it. That would be for Cape to forgive or not to. I'm just speaking that Muhammad owned it. He said that's exactly what he did. Right, they say in life that there's three stories. Your version, their version, and then the truth. Well, Muhammad told it exactly like Cape told it. Muhammad told it exactly like Coach Nisik, who was there, told it. I asked him to come over for a photo. He did. When he got close enough, I hit him. And before we hang our hat on that is the issue, and that's a bad thing to do, but before we hang our hat on that being the issue, guys, that was a day before weigh-ins. That was 2 days prior to the fight. I knew about Muhammad not having a contract extension 2 weeks before. So did you. We saw the card change. We saw this undefeated young prospect get pulled off the main card. I mean, we're all aware of this, and that is prior to the hotel, which I offer just to let you know. I think it was something a lot more simplistic than that. When you deal with the matchmakers, that is, generally speaking, over the phone. That's a phone call. That's a text message. I think Muhammad has good enough English that perhaps he was doing that directly. But again, if you wanted typical speaking, he would have his manager speak for him. So I'm not certain. You get forgiven a lot. Like, if you blew your top, but you did it to your manager in private, your manager then goes and talks to the matchmakers, that doesn't stick to you. Something here stuck to him. And when you're turning fights down, per the contract, right? Everybody gets 3 fights a year. You guys have heard that. Well, just go a little further. If you offer the fight and they say no, that counts for you. That counts as one. So when guys are saying no, which I just haven't heard of him saying no, and I don't know who within the division that I would sincerely believe that he would say no to, that an undefeated 23-year-old is trying to come up. I don't know that I would make that guess. This whole thing's a guess by me. I don't know that I would guess in that direction. But also, when you say no, that one came off the board. Now you're fighting twice this year. You get a phone call in another 5 months. You say no to that one, great, and you're fighting once this year. It's one of those things. Like, we don't go on a mad dash to appease the guy that says he doesn't want to show up for work. It's quite the opposite. You don't want to go for work, great. All I had to hear, let me call somebody who does. But as I look at his schedule and resume, I didn't see gaps like that. So I don't know what he would have done. I could only imagine. But I know the matchmakers, and they're very nice men. Like, it'd be really hard to get upset with them. Right? Guy calls you wanting to get you work in the industry you have chosen to work in. Like, it'd be really hard. And they've seen everything. They put up with everything. Guys saying no, guys having reason, guys, it's called squatting on your spot. Got the number 6 guy in the world, he's just going to hold on to that. He's not going to go out and risk it, not going to fight anybody. It's one of these situations that they've dealt with all of these things. Match, they've got lined up, they get a phone call, guy hurt his shoulder, guy can't show up, got to find somebody else. I'm sharing for you, I don't know what he could have done realistically, because he's got to do 2 things. He's got to upset the matchmakers, who are really nice guys. Like, it's really hard for somebody to get upset with them. I don't know if I've ever heard a story where somebody was upset with them. So you got to, but you got to upset them and be able to keep it quiet. And in our industry, that is just wildly difficult to do. So when I tell you I want to forgive him, and I do, I guess I should also offer, I don't quite know what we're forgiving him for, but I have guesses, and he seems calm. He seems like a guy that really wants his job. In fact, stronger on the position of, I want to be here, please, please reconsider, than I believe I've ever seen. And that has to mean something. When a guy has that kind of passion, that kind of energy, and he's telling you he's sorry, and he's showing it, and he's going out to the public, and he's owning everything that he did, whether he's got a boring style, or he had the hotel situation, I feel like that's a guy that you would show grace to. I don't know him. I've just watched him in the media. And it's something that he really wants. Really, I sincerely believe that now that he's aware of whatever those actions were, I do believe that he will not take those actions again. So I'm giving a shout out to him. We'll see. But I hope that they get it worked out. I hope he does get that contract with the UFC. All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everyone who's been reviewing the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I read them all, and I can't wait to read more. But that's enough for today. I'm going to be back on Tuesday, and we're going to discuss UFC 305 and a whole lot more. Until then, everybody, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.